NBC's Inter-American University of the Air presents the fourth chapter of Lands of the Free. The story of restraint of trade in 17th century Spanish America and the struggle of one man against monopoly.
Get to work there. Get those mules packed. The caravan leaves in 10 minutes.
Francisco de Fonseca.
Yes, Father Florentine.
Why do you persist in making this journey to Spain?
Father, nothing can keep me here in Buenos Aires. Nothing. I will never let Manuel Saavedra out of my sight until I see him dead.
But do you not know why Manuel is going to Spain?
I don't care why he's going. Where he goes, I go.
Manuel is going to Seville to plead before the Casa de Contratación to get permission from the monopoly to bring back to Buenos Aires the healing bark of the quinaquina tree and give it freely to all who have the fever. He has a noble purpose. Francisco, stay here in Buenos Aires. Do nothing that will harm Manuel Saavedra on this journey.
Harm him? Father Florentine, I will stick to him until I destroy him. Pedro!
Si.
Bertito!
Si.
Touch those mules! The caravan is ready to go!
Long ago and far away, Buenos Aires, struggling for existence under the severe laws of Spain that restricted trade. Yet not so far from us today, for the existence of the entire modern world depends on trade. Trade we see restricted today by conditions of war. When we win this war, when we destroy the menace of the submarine and Axis piracy, when we secure once more the freedom of the seas, we will win the peace by freeing trade for everyone. We look forward to a better future for the world with President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Churchill in the words of the Atlantic Charter, the Charter of Freedom.
Point number four of the Charter of Freedom.
The enjoyment by all states, great or small, victor or vanquished, of access on equal terms to the trade and to the raw materials of the world which are needed for their economic prosperity.
Freedom of trade.
The promise of the Charter of Freedom. We are not the first to look forward to freedom of trade. During the long 300 years of Spain's control of the fate of Spanish America, the law of Spain restricted trade to a monopoly by the merchants of Seville. At Seville sat the Royal Board of Trade, the Casa de Contratación, whose control over New World commerce was absolute and final. Every cargo, every article of clothing, hardware, machinery, every bottle of wine, every ounce of medicine was registered with, valued by, and paid tax to the Casa de Contratación. And all goods coming back from the New World were brought by law to Seville, and their sale regulated for the trade monopoly of the merchants of Seville. That was the law. But there were men who tried to change the law. Our story opens in the city of Buenos Aires, capital of the Spanish province of La Plata, in the year 1640. There's been this year a plague of malaria. A young woman, Dolores Maria Saavedra, is dying. Outside her door, her brother, Manuel de Saavedra, is talking with a priest.
My sister is young, Father. The most beautiful person who ever lived. It isn't right that she should die.
Yeah. We could save your sister if there were time.
What do you mean, Father?
There is the bark of the quinaquina tree, cinchona bark. You grind it to a powder and dissolve it in wine.
Yes?
2 years ago in Lima, this bark saved the life of the Countess of Chinchon. In Spain, they are using it now to cure malaria.
Father Florentine, where can we get this cinchona bark?
Only from Seville.
Only from Seville? But if the Countess used it in Lima?
The quinaquina tree, Manuel, grows in Peru, but the bark must be sent to the Casa de Contratación at Seville, where the Spanish merchants have the monopoly of making this medicine.
But we cannot send to Seville and wait 2 years for the medicine to come back.
That is the only way, Manuel, under the law.
Under the law? Is that a just law? Do you call that justice?
My son, it is sometimes difficult to see.
Doctor.
My boy, I am sorry, very sorry. There was nothing we could do.
We might have saved her. We could have saved her. Father Florentine, before you I make my oath. I will go to Spain. I will see the king. I will change this law. Never will I cease until I have broken this monopoly and made this remedy available to everyone.
I pray that you will succeed, Padmir. But now, we have other things to think of. We must prepare for the cathedral. Manuel, we are not alone.
Who is it, Father?
Coming down the aisle.
Francisco de Fonseca.
Be calm, my son.
Calm? Fonseca, what are you doing here in the cathedral?
I have come for my bride.
You have come to desecrate my sister's funeral.
I would have been married to your sister, Saavedra, if you had not tried to poison her heart against me.
At least I kept her from you.
You killed her!
Francisco.
Francisco Fonseca. I will not violate this holy spot by killing you. I loved my sister. She might have lived. There is a medicine that might have cured her. But because of the laws that govern trade, we do not have that medicine in Buenos Aires. I am going to correct those laws. When I have done that, I will return and settle this with you.
Do you think you can avoid me? Listen, Manuel Saavedra. Where you go, I go. I will stick to you like a leech until I have worn you down and down and have destroyed you for what you have done to me.
Francisco, you cannot mean
that. Wait for me, my bride. Wait for me. I will avenge your death.
Come back, you.
Manuel. Let him go.
But, Father, he is approaching the bier of my sister.
Wait, Manuel. He loved your sister. Can you hate him for that?
I do hate him for that.
Hate is a poison, my son. Hate will keep you from the work you've sworn to do. You have no time for hate. You must think now only of your journey to Spain.
A journey to Spain to change the laws of trade. And what an almost endless journey. In order to control the trade of the New World, Spain forbade the ships of any country but her own to visit the harbors of her colonies. And not even her own ships were allowed to visit Buenos Aires. Once a year, a great fleet of Spanish galleons made for Puerto Bello on the Isthmus of Panama. The goods they brought were carried by mule across the Isthmus to Panama City on the Pacific. There, by boat, they went south to Callao, the port of Lima, Peru. From Lima, goods for Buenos Aires were carried over the Andes Mountains to Bolivia, then on to Paraguay, and finally, after months of travel, down to Buenos Aires. Thus, to make the journey to Spain, Manuel de Saavedra had to go west instead of east, to meet the galleons at Puerto Bello. More than 2,000 miles and 300 days of unnecessary journey. But that was the law that governed trade, the law that restricted trade. The caravan assembled in the great square of the marketplace in Buenos Aires. Sure-footed mules with heavy packs, ranchmen and merchants, soldiers in gleaming breastplate and helmet to protect the caravan. In the busy, noisy crowd at the marketplace, Francisco de Fonseca was busy too as his friend Eduardo approached.
Francisco de Fonseca, wait a minute.
Oh, hello there, Eduardo. I'm busy.
Francisco, they told me you were going with the caravan to Portosí and on to Lima and then to Spain. Francisco, what has come over you? You are working.
Oh, Eduardo, don't bother me now. I must get this cargo of cattle hides packed on the mules.
Ah, I see. You are too important now to talk to your old friends, huh? All right, then. If you are leaving, where's the 100 pesos you lost to me at dice 3 weeks ago?
I have it here for you, my friend.
And the money you owe Martinez for the wine shop we broke into. And the money for the pretty barmaid.
Don't speak to me of women, Eduardo.
Oh, but Francisco, the girl who sang the song.
Go to the devil, you swine. You son of a swine. Here. Here is 1,000 reales. Pay the debts of a waster. Now get out.
But Francisco...
Get out. Get out.
All right, but you don't own the marketplace.
Come on, then. Get to work. Get those mules packed. The caravan leaves in 10 minutes.
Francisco de Fonseca.
Yes, Father Florentine?
Why do you persist in making this trip to Spain?
Father, I will never let Manuel de Saavedra out of my sight until I see him dead.
But you know why Manuel is going to Spain. He's going to plead for permission to bring back the bark of the quinaquina tree, to give it freely to all who have the fever. He has a noble purpose. Francisco, stay here in Buenos Aires. Do nothing that will harm Manuel de Saavedra.
Harm him? Father Florentine, I will stick to him until I destroy him.
Then I shall go along on this journey with you, too. My son, what do you expect to gain through hate?
Father, I loved his sister. If it had not been for him, I...
So you intend to haunt him? Will that bring Dolores back?
Father, that is my business. Pedro!
Si?
Bertito!
Si?
Pack those mules! Hurry, hurry! We must join the caravan for Potosí!
Across the pampas of La Plata winds the slow-moving caravan. And now up the slopes of the Andes, on to the city of silver, to Potosí in Bolivia. Here for a short time, the caravan rests and business is done. In the marketplace, Saavedra approaches Francisco de Fonseca.
I hear you have done a good trading here in Potosí, Fonseca.
That's my business, Saavedra.
Why don't you stay here in Potosí, Fonseca? With your profits, you could get a good silver mine. Work it, make a fortune, have all the wine, women, and songs
you
desire.
You hate me no more than I hate you, Manuel Saavedra. Why do we talk about it? I have business to do.
And you, Manuel, you have completed your business?
Yes, Father Florentine. I have sold here at the mines 1,000 head of sheep.
And what do you carry on to Spain?
Money, Father, to buy cinchona bark for the sick.
And something else?
Nothing.
You carry hate.
That is my affair, Father.
Yours and your conscience.
Very well. I hate Fonseca. He hates me.
It is his conscience he hates, Manuel, just as you hate yours.
Well, what are you waiting for, Saavedra? Trying to escape me? The caravan is moving. We're on our way to Cusco. We can't wait all day for you. Come on!
On to Cusco, ancient city of the Incas. Then down the western slopes of the Andes to Lima, capital of the Viceroy of Peru. 2,000 miles of travel. At Callao, the port of Lima, they board the treasure galleon bound northward along the Pacific coast for Panama. 30 days under sail. And at last, the ship carrying Saavedra, Fonseca, and Father Florentine arrives in the harbor at Panama City.
Ah, good morning, Father Florentine. Have a good night.
Oh, a splendid night, thank you, Francisco. It's a nice morning to be in port.
It'll feel good to get on solid land again. Oh, but now I must get to work and see that my hides are unloaded. You know, I'll feel like Balboa.
Yes.
We're going to cross Panama to Puerto Bello.
Fonseca.
Saavedra, I knew the morning was too nice to last.
Fonseca, look behind you.
What is it?
A ship. A galleon from Manila.
Yes, and loaded with silk and spice and jade and treasure from the Far East.
Father, they will be carrying their cargo across to Puerto Bello at the same time we will. They will take every porter and every mule in sight.
Well, I've got to get busy here. I've got to get somebody to carry my hides.
Oh, this wet and the heat.
Steady, Francisco, steady.
Oh, Father, it's not the load on my back. It's the heat that bears me down.
Here, let me carry that a while, Fonseca.
What?
I will be glad to give you a hand.
Stay away from me.
Have it your own way, fool.
It was offered in kindness, Francisco.
I would carry 10 loads across this isthmus before I took kindness from...
Here, my son. Let me take your load a little way. We'll be at Puerto Bello very soon.
At last, Puerto Bello, on the Caribbean shore of Panama. Puerto Bello, a mudhole village, 11 months of the year. And then the galleons arrive from Spain, and merchants of Peru, of Ecuador, of Chile, and Argentina come by hundreds, by thousands, to sell their treasure and to buy the goods from Spain. Day and night, Porto Bello is a market. Porto Bello is a fair. Porto Bello is... a mad fiesta. Overcrowded, disease-ridden, but exciting. Father Florentine, Saavedra, and Fonseca enter a tavern looking for something to eat.
Manuel, Francisco, here is a table. What luck.
I could eat a cow. I could eat a sheep. I could eat three horses.
Waiter!
No, you'll never be heard in this place, Saavedra. Here's a bill of fare. See what you want.
You will want wine, I know that.
I'll drink nothing, Saavedra, with you.
Perhaps if we found you a dancing girl?
Saavedra, I'll split your skull out.
Quiet, Fonseca. No. Right, son, this is fiesta time. We have been on our journey now for a whole year. Come now, let us order some food.
Well, all right.
Look at the prices of food in this place. In Buenos Aires, you can feed a family for a whole week for the price of a pair of lamb chops in this tavern.
Look what they want for chicken, and probably an old crow at that.
Boys, do you know what we are paying for our bed?
How much, Father?
The town is so crowded, it took me 4 hours to find any place at all. I had to pay 2 weeks in advance, whether we stay there or not. And it's 10 pesos.
For the three of us?
For 2 weeks?
No, for each of us, for each night.
30 pesos times 14 nights? You mean you paid 420 pesos?
You must have rented a palace.
It is part of a little stable for sheep. Each of us has a sack of straw to lie on. And there are 12 other people in this stable with us.
Perdone, gentlemen, perdone your order, please. Aye, and here is your wine.
We haven't ordered any wine.
Oh, sir, I would advise you to drink the wine. During the fair, the town is very crowded. And it is not very sanitary. Last week, 300 people died of the fever. And that was before the fair opened.
We will take the wine, waiter. Come back in a minute for our order.
Very well, sir.
Here, I'll pour it. Well, Saavedra, if you can bring Cinchona bark to this place at fair time, you'll be doing something worthwhile for once in your life.
Father, what sort of a pest hole is this anyway?
What can you expect, Manuel? For an entire hemisphere, the Crown sends us 30 ships once a year. 30 ships. When 3,000 would be barely enough.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What does he mean, ladies? There aren't any women here.
That's Donatelli, the famous magician, the wizard from Venice.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present the Queen of Sheba, Scheherazade.
Look at that. Look at that girl. Look at her dance.
She's beautiful.
What did he call her?
Scheherazade.
Look at her. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. Honored by your presence.
Are you really Donatelli the magician?
Why, of course I am. Would you like magic? It is yours. Abracadabra. Rama. Ava.
What happened to the wine bottle?
Where did it go? There was a bottle here.
Why, Father, you are hiding the bottle right under your cassock. Allow me. Here we are.
I will take the wine if you do not mind.
Not at all, not at all, Father. The wine is yours. Good evening, gentlemen. A pleasure to have met you.
How did he do it?
I don't know. It was like a miracle.
And what happened to the dancing girl?
Do you think he made her disappear? Father, what happened to the girl?
I do not know, Manuel, but something more important has disappeared.
What, Father?
Inside my cassock, I had our money.
What?
Your money, Manuel, for the sheep you sold at Potosí. Your money, Francisco, for the mules you sold.
What?
Also, your bills of lading for the hides. They are gone.
Donatelli.
When he reached into your cassock for the wine.
Thief!
Out with your sword, Saavedra.
I am with you, Fonseca.
Come on.
Wait for us, Father. Come on, friend. He went through that door. He can't make himself disappear.
Where are they, Saavedra?
Look out, Fonseca. It is dark in here.
All right, men. Break this car.
A little window, very high, with bars.
All right, you two, on your feet.
What do you want?
What do I want? It's the governor of Panama who wants
My filthy young friends, he's calling for you and for the rest of the roisterers left over from the end of the fair.
The end of the fair?
Come along now. No nonsense.
Saavedra, here. Let me help you. Lean on me.
We must help each other. If we don't, Fonseca.
If we don't, we're lost.
Come on, there. The governor is waiting. He'll deal with you.
Any more clamor and I shall clear the courtroom. Continue with your story, gentlemen.
Your Excellency, I swear there is no more to say.
We arrived in Portobello, sat down in a tavern for dinner.
A strange magician stole our money. We ran after him.
And we came to only to find that the fleet had sailed for Spain.
And there we were, Your Excellency, in a dungeon.
A likely story?
Your Excellency, by all that's good, it's the truth.
You had a little money?
Yes.
You drank a little wine?
Only a glass apiece.
Brought by a strange waiter in a strange tavern?
But, Your Excellency...
And this was your first trip to Portobello. Just what was your business here in Portobello?
Well, Your Excellency, we were hoping to take the ship to Spain.
To Spain? And why, may I ask, were you going to Spain?
Your Excellency, there is a plague in Buenos Aires. People are dying of malaria. There is a medicine that can cure them. It is cinchona bark from the quinquina tree. It grows in Peru. But we cannot buy it in Peru. The law says that we have to send all the way to Spain to get it, because under the law, the merchants of Seville have a monopoly. I was going to Spain to plead with the Casa de Contratación and get permission to bring that medicine back to Buenos Aires.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you'd have me believe. And your companion?
Your Excellency, I started this journey to harm my friend. Now I want to help him.
To help him? Mm-hmm. Has either of you anything more to say?
I think we have said everything that can be said, Your Excellency.
Well, I haven't. Your Excellency, as long as we live under laws like that, justice is a mockery. And I dare to say that even in the court of the governor of Panama.
Francisco.
Are you finished?
Yes, Your Excellency.
Very well. Young men of Buenos Aires, for all your effort, you've lost your money, gotten a sound beating, and spent 2 weeks in jail. Two noble young men, but such young, young men. You think you can change the trade laws of the world? Do you think you can appear before the learned council of the Indies and tell them what laws are just?
But, Your Excellency...
Silence! It so happens, young men, that the law says that a product of a viceroyalty, such as the viceroyalty of Peru, can be sold only within that viceroyalty or to the merchants from Spain. Henceforth, you will abide by that law. Call Father Florentine.
Father Florentine!
Father Florentine! Here? What is he doing here?
Yes, Your Excellency.
Father, these are the two young men for whom you've been searching?
They are, Your Excellency.
I will suspend sentence for disorderly conduct. And for their other crimes, I put them in your custody. You'd better take them back to Buenos Aires. Here is my written order. You'd better take it with you.
Here, my two young friends, sit down on this rock beside the road.
Oh, Father, I ache all over.
What a beating we took.
What a beating is right. Here we are, ordered to leave Portobello and go home and not a centavo to our name.
Our money gone, even the hides I sweated to carry over the isthmus on a galleon for Spain, and the magician has the bills of lading.
My son, I have something to tell you. I reached the magician a little late, but I reached him.
Reached him? What do you mean, Father?
Oh, like a diligent priest, I heard his confession and made him restore to me the stolen property.
Our money? You have our money?
Yes, and even the bills of lading for Francisco's hide.
Francisco, did you hear?
The hides and the money!
Francisco, I am so happy for you.
And Manuel, I have something for you.
For me?
The order the governor gave me as we were leaving the court.
Is it important, Father? What is it?
Written permission, Manuel, for you to purchase in Lima all the cinchona bark you want, to bring it back to Buenos Aires. You do not have to go to Spain to get it. You can buy it right in the city of Lima.
Permission to buy in Lima? But if it is against the law?
The governor told you that the products of a viceroyalty may be sold within that viceroyalty. Buenos Aires is in the province of La Plata, which is part of the viceroyalty of Peru. With that interpretation of the law, it is permissible to buy in Peru and to sell in Buenos Aires. All you need is that interpretation by the governor.
Francisco, do you hear?
Francisco? That is the second time you have called me Francisco. Manuel, let us be friends.
Hey! You three on the road! Look out! Here comes the caravan back to the Pacific coast!
Francisco, they're going home.
Manuel, what are we waiting for?
Let us join them, my son. Let us return to Buenos Aires. We have accomplished what we set out to do. You have done a great thing for the freedom of trade. Best of all, you have conquered hate and suspicion. That is the beginning of all freedom.
Long ago and far away, the colonies of Spain in the early 17th century, and today, a short 300 years later, the renewed need for a charter of freedom, the pledge of access by all nations, great and small, on equal terms to the trade and raw materials of the world. Years have passed since the days of our story. Significant events in that time which have changed conditions of trade include, first, the Treaty of Utrecht in 1713, which gave England an opportunity to open colonial markets to consumer goods. Second, the development of sails and steamships. Third, the naming of La Plata as a viceroyalty in the year 1777, with its subsequent freeing of the Buenos Aires trade. Fourth, the revolution of the United States of America with its ideals of freedom of trade. Fifth, the revolt and independence of the Spanish colonies. And sixth, the development of great international organizations for investment and exportation throughout the Americas. And now, confidently, we look forward to freedom of trade throughout the world when we have won this war and the peace that follows.